By 1920, Joe Newell was a rich man. His Three Gates Falls mills were going like a house afire, stuffed with the profits of a world war, and comfortable with the orders of the newly arisen or arising middle class. He began to build a new wing on his house. Most folks in the village pronounced it unnecessary. After all, there were just the two of them up there, and almost all opined it added nothing but ugly to a house most of them already considered ugly beyond almost all measure. This new wing towered one story above the main house and looked blindly down the ridge, which had in those days been covered with straggling pines. The news that just the two of them were soon to become just the three of them trickled in from Gates Falls, the source most likely being Doris Gingercroft, who was Dr. Robertson's nurse in those days. So the added wing was in the nature of a celebration, it seemed. After 6 years of wedded bliss and 4 years of living in the Bend, during which she had been seen only at a distance as she crossed her dooryard or occasionally picking flowers, crocuses, wild roses, Queen Anne's lace, lady slipper, paintbrush, in the field beyond the buildings, after all that time, Cora Leonard Newell had kindled. She never shopped at Brownie's. Cora did her marketing at the Kitty Corner store over in Gate Center every Thursday afternoon. In January of 1921, Cora gave birth to a monster with no arms and, it was said, a tiny clutch of perfect fingers sticking out of one eye socket. It died less than 6 hours after mindless contractions had pushed its red and senseless face into the light. Joe Newell added a cupola to the wing 17 months later in the late spring of 1922. In western Maine, there is no early spring, only late spring and winter before it. He continued to buy out of town and would have nothing to do with Bill Brownie McKissick's store. He also never crossed the threshold of the Bend Methodist Church. The deformed infant, which had slid from his wife's womb, was buried in the Newell plot in Gates rather than in homeland. The inscription on the tiny headstone read, Sarah Tamson Tabitha Francine Newell, January 14, 1921. God grant she lie still. In the store, they talked about Joe Newell and Joe's wife and Joe's house as Brownie's kid Harley, still not old enough to shave, but with his senescence buried inside just the same, hibernating, waiting, perhaps dreaming, but old enough to stack vegetables and haul pecks of potatoes out to the roadside stand whenever called upon to do so, stood by and listened. Mostly it was the house of which they spoke. It was considered to be an affront to the sensibilities and an offense to the eye. But it grows on you, Clayton Clutterbuck, father of John, sometimes remarked. There was never any answer to this. It was a statement with absolutely no meaning, yet at the same time, it was a patent fact. If you were standing in the yard at Brownie's, maybe just looking at the berries for the best box when berry season was on, you sooner or later found your eyes turning up to the house on the ridge, the way a weather vane turns to the northeast before a March blizzard. Sooner or later, you had to look, and as time went by, it got to be sooner for most people. Because, as Clay Clutterbuck said, the Newell place grew on you. In 1924, Cora fell down the stairs between the cupola and the new wing, breaking her neck and her back. A rumor went through town, it probably originated at a ladies' aid bake sale, that she had been stark naked at the time. She was interred next to her ill-formed, short-lived daughter. Joe Newell, who most folks now agreed undoubtedly contained a touch of the kike, continued to make money hand over fist. He built two sheds and a barn up on the ridge, all of them connected to the main house by way of the new wing. The barn was completed in 1927, and its purpose became clear almost at once. Joe had apparently decided to become a gentleman farmer. He bought 16 cows from a fellow in Mechanic Falls. He bought a shiny new milking machine from the same fellow. It looked like a metal octopus to those who glanced into the back of the delivery truck and saw it when the driver stopped at Brownie's for a cold bottle of ale before going on up the hill. With the cows and the milking machine installed, Joe hired a halfwit from Mauton to take care of his investment. How this supposedly hard-fisted and tough-minded mill owner could have done such a thing perplexed everyone who turned his mind to the question, That Newell was slipping seemed to be the only answer, but he did, and of course all the cows died. The county health officer showed up to look at the cows, and Joe showed him a signed statement from a veterinarian, a Gates Falls veterinarian, folks said ever after, raising their brows significantly as they said it, certifying that the cows had died of bovine meningitis. "That means bad luck in English," Joe said. "Is that supposed to be a joke?" "Take it the way you want to take it," said Joe. "That's all right." "Make that idiot shut up, why don't you?" the county health officer said. He was looking down the driveway at the halfwit, who was leaning against the Newell RFD box and howling. Tears ran down his pudgy, dirty cheeks. Every now and then he would draw back and slap himself a good one, like he knew the whole thing was his fault. "He's all right, too." "Nothing up here seems all right to me," said the county health man. "Least of all, 16 cows laying dead on their backs with their legs sticking up like fence posts. I can see 'em from here." "Good," said Joe Newell, "because it's as close as you'll get." The county health officer threw the Gates Falls vet's paper down and stamped one of his boots on it. He looked at Joe Newell, his face flushed so bright that the burst squiggles of veins on the sides of his nose stood out purple. "I want to see those cows. Haul one away if it comes to that." "No." "You don't own the world, Newell. I'll get a court order." "Let's see if you can." The health officer drove away. Joe watched him. Down at the end of the driveway, the halfwit, clad in dung-splattered bib overalls from the Sears and Roebuck mail-order catalog, went on leaning against the Newell RFD box and howling. He